It's amazing how good the Lord is, ain't he? Come on, y'all. Come on up in here. He is so good. I also see Shantae Melton in the choir stand. She and her husband laid his mother to rest. So we've been praying for you as well, Shantae. Good to see you back in the saddle, girl. Don't miss a beat. Don't miss a beat. You know, God told me something. He told me the sun is not going to shine because the Cowboy is not in the Super Bowl. So that's what's happening. You didn't catch that. The Lord told me that. Yes, he did. He spoke it into my spirit. And he told me to tell you. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? For the reading of the word. He told me to tell you. That's how they said it when they said it. God told me to tell you. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. Make sure you have your handout, your sermon handout. Again, visitors, we're so honored to have you here today. We don't take it lightly. And so we're just blessed that you've decided to worship and hang out with us on today. Matthew chapter 14. I'm trying to figure out a good place to start. I want to read the whole thing. Oh, y'all be saying that now. And then in 30 minutes, y'all be like, ooh, he went a little long today. Oh, yeah. Young people, y'all still with me? U-turn, y'all still with me? U-turn, make some noise. U-turn. Now, that's active U-turn members, please. Some of y'all still trying to get in. No offense. U-turn class of 79. God bless you. Still trying to get in. All right, Matthew chapter 14. Those that found it, say, I've got it. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. If you don't have your scriptures, no worries. They will be on the screen. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to preach for just a few moments from this subject. Get out of the boat. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we're so grateful for this tremendous moment that you have afforded us. Father, you've navigated our circumstances to make our way to GBBC. And Father, we're so grateful. Lord, it's the first Sunday of February 2019, and we give you glory, praise, and honor for carrying us thus far by faith. Now, Father, as we examine this text and in a moment talk about our goals for 2019, Lord, I pray for a spirit of receptivity, a spirit of unity, a spirit of joy at what you are doing in and through the ministry of Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church. Father, I'm so especially grateful for our visitors and special guests. Father, just be with us during this moment. Allow us to be focused in on your word as we learn how to get out of the boat. Father, we submit this prayer to you by faith. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We begin every message with a highlight on what is called the message moment. Message moment is important because oftentimes you will leave from a service having heard a message, and it's kind of hard to pinpoint specifically what was being discussed. And let me help the ushers out as we prepare. If there are some seats near you, go on and squinch into the center. Go on and scoot into the center so that we can save the aisles, for we have a lot of people trying to come in, and we want to be able to accommodate them. So go on, squinch into the center close as you can. Amen. Amen. There's some seats near you. Raise your hand and help our ushers out. Look at that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So as we begin each message, we have what's called the message moment. It's at the top of your sermon note card. And it is especially helpful when you're trying to recall what it is we talked about on today. Here is a message moment for today. We must envision the impossible and activate our faith to launch into uncharted territory. We must envision, we must see what could be interpreted as the impossible. And then once we see it, we must activate our faith to seize it, to get it. I open with a question here before each of you, understanding that Christ Jesus is our example to pursue new and exciting opportunities. What dreams, beloved, have you been dreaming? What ideas have been flooding your mind? When I stop and think about what the Lord is doing in my life and what the Lord is doing in this church, sometimes I literally can't go to sleep. And that's a good thing. It's because the Lord is flooding my mind with where we are and where he wants to take us. And so oftentimes, y'all, it's a good thing to have things on your mind as it relates to dreams. But my concern for many of us is the Lord has been implanting dreams into your mind. But because of circumstances that you perceive are beyond your control, you're not seizing and activating and fulfilling those dreams. See, we talked last Sunday about the finish. Somebody say finish. And see, some of us don't recognize that as long as there is life in us, then that means our assignment is not finished. You don't get to prematurely cross the finish line. That is God's call on you. He determines when, and until he says, well done, you ought well do. And I know some of us are like that piece of, not that piece, but like that tube of toothpaste. We got a little bit left. And sometimes you got to get creative to get the toothpaste out. Sometimes you got to roll it up. And if that don't work, then you take your toothbrush or a finger and you slide it up. And if that don't work, you go to the kitchen and get the scissors and you cut that back off. And then you scoop. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. And many of us, we have to receive the fact that we've got some toothpaste left in us. We have some work still to do. We have some dreams that are yet to be fulfilled. Beloved, what dreams have you been dreaming? Nothing stagnates growth or creativity like unfulfilled dreams. And so many under the sound of my voice, there's some things that you have longed to do, but again, you've allowed perceived obstacles and perceived things beyond your control to just stifle the flow of creativity and even the Spirit of God in your life. So as we make our way to this text for today, I want to zero in on a young man by the name of Peter. Oftentimes, Peter is ridiculed in this passage. But I'm here to let you know, Peter demonstrated more faith than anybody else on that boat. So how'd they get on the boat? How'd they get on the boat? Well, the Lord Jesus has just spent a little time performing a miracle known as the feeding. Somebody say the feeding. And he has fed hundreds of thousands of individuals with just a small portion. He blessed it and then he broke it. And as he distributed it to the people, things began to multiply. And this miracle took place in such a phenomenal fashion that everyone was in awe. How is it, Lord, that you took a little bit and we still had leftovers? See, that's how the Lord blesses. He takes a little bit, and then we still have leftovers. So on the heel of this miraculous event in verse 22, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So he sends his disciples ahead of him, perhaps so that they can be reminded of what had just taken place through them. He wanted them to ponder how he could use them to do great things. And as they make their way across the sea, something begins to happen. A storm arises. Now, he's already given them the command to go to the other side. But in the midst of making their way to the other side, a storm arises. It says, meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, verse 24, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very early in the morning. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. See, there's some things that's happening in this text. Lord Jesus is trying to encourage these brothers and let them know they're not in this situation by themselves. Jesus offers three things in this simple statement. The first thing he offers is encouragement. Somebody say encouragement. Write that down. He offers encouragement. He said, listen, take courage. Don't be distraught. Don't be frustrated. I know the storm is here, but I'm here with you in the midst of the storm. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody under the sound of my voice, you are going through a whirlwind of a season. And the Lord Jesus needs for you to understand to be encouraged. See, there's no promise anywhere in Scripture that you're going to experience a storm-free life. You can look from Genesis to Revelation, but that is not found in Scripture. But what is found is, I'll be with you always until the very end. Somebody say encouragement. But then he partners encouragement with assurance. Get that down. With assurance. He says, it is I. Oh, I'd like that by myself. See, sometimes you need to just know, watch this, that I got you. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about the I in the text. Because I ain't got you. I get a flat tire on the way to try to help you. But I got you. Oh God, y'all help me preach this. Look at your name and say, I got you. I got you. We see encouragement, we see assurance, but then thirdly, he gives a command to trust. A command to trust. Amen. Did y'all get some sermon note cards when y'all came in? We got some guests down front. They may need sermon. Did y'all get these? Come on. Move quickly, y'all. Come on. We got guests. They need sermon note cards. I'm teaching. They looking at me. I want them to write this down. We ran out. The devil is a liar. Well, come get mine. Give them mine. Here, we got a stack right here. Hey, bro, right over there. Walk a little. Yeah, get on over there. I know you cool. He's a Sigma. He can't help himself. He just cool like that, you know. Who need these right here? Like he's scalping tickets. Who needs them? $5. Front row. Thank you, Brother Young. Appreciate you, Doc. I knew we had enough. Okay. Somebody say, a command to trust. He said, don't fear. Because the Lord Jesus understands that you can't be operating in faith and fear at the same time. One of the reasons they didn't spot him, one of the reasons they didn't identify him, one of the reasons that they were still afraid, that they couldn't see, is because they were afraid. So they identified him as a ghost. Now, to their defense, he was walking on water. So, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I would be like, nah. Do y'all see what I see? Now, what is that? It is I. Don't be afraid. Well, who is you? See, we have the privilege of being able to take an aerial view of the text. But while they were in that ship, let me move on to Peter. So the Lord, he assures them that he's got them. He gives them a command to trust. But I need for you to widen your lens for this scene. The Lord Jesus is standing near them. The storm is still raging. While this exchange is taking place. See, I want you to understand that the Lord speaks in the midst of the storm. But even in the midst of the storm, the Lord doesn't always calm the storm. And see, some of you, we falsely conclude that God must not be with me because of the mess I'm going through. Child of God, I'm here to let you know that's an indication that he is with you. We're talking about Peter today. We're talking about Peter because Peter wanted greater. I'm talking about Peter. We're trying to capture a vision greater than what we already had. Peter wanted greater assurance that it was really the Lord. So he said, Lord, if it is you, still a little doubt, then you give me permission to come to you. Not only Matthew records this exchange of Peter walking, and in the totality of the human experience, these are only two people that have ever been documented to walk on water. But here's what I like about Peter. Peter wanted greater. Everybody's in the boat, but Peter wanted greater. First thing Peter does, watch this, y'all. Peter saw. Get that down. I know that's simple, but Peter saw. What do you mean? What do you mean he saw? He saw Jesus walking. But even greater than that, Peter envisioned what could be. See, that's what vision will do. That's what your dreams will do to you. Peter saw something that he had never seen before. And Peter had enough dream on the inside of him to communicate, I want some of that. Oh, God. See, some of us won't even say it. We won't even allow ourselves to dream it. We won't even allow ourselves to think it. But Peter saw. Y'all, Peter had vision. Peter had vision. And what I love about Peter's vision is his vision was not diminished by the other folk in the boat. Y'all, I got 18 minutes in. His vision was not diminished by the other folk in the boat. Ain't nobody else say, Jesus, tell me to come to you. The other one's like, well, what you doing, Peter? The storm is raging, bro. Let him get in here. What you doing? Watch this. Peter saw. Secondly, Peter sought. I like that by myself. Peter sought. He made a request. As a matter of fact, he told Jesus to tell him. Oh, y'all got to catch that. He told Jesus to tell. He said, Jesus, tell me to come. But he prefaced it with, Lord, it was done in humility. It was done with expectation. Command me to come to you on the water. Peter desired to do something he'd never done before. Oh, God. Peter desired to do something he'd never done before, but it was based upon the vision that he had seen. Walking on water was a new concept. It had never been done before. Walking on water was a new concept. Amen. It had never been done before, and it was time for something new. It's William Carey who puts it this way. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Your expectations are connected with your attempts. If you don't expect nothing great, you're going to keep doing what you've been doing. Now let me preach a little bit before I get to my last few points. It's time for us to have greater expectations. Peter sought. Thirdly, Peter stepped. Lord said, come on, bro. You want some of this? Come on. Storm is still raging. Ship is still going up and down. Come on, y'all. I mean, just waves and wind. I'm sure the water wasn't hitting Jesus, but everybody else. Waves and wind just, yeah. And there's Peter getting out the boat. Yeah, that's how we do it. The Lord gives us permission to do something. Okay, here I come, Lord. Hold on, Lord. Y'all, Peter stepped. He got out of the boat. And for that moment, he fulfilled the impossible. He envisioned something he had never done before, something he had never seen before, and he went after it. What is it that the Lord is calling you out of? Peter got out of the boat. He got out of the box that confined him. Last movement of the passage, application. We're going to move to the vision. Y'all, we waste time asking for stuff that we can do. When will we begin to ask God for things that only He can do? I'm going to give you three things about it that we're going to move to the next movement. If we're really ready to get out of the boat. And before I give you these, how many of you say, well, Pastor, you've piqued my interest. I'm not sure I'm ready to get out the boat. I mean, my seat is comfortable. Come on, y'all. I got a good view. I've been in this seat for a while. Somebody say, hey. it's contoured. You know what I'm saying? It fits me. If you're ready to get out of the boat, or if you're curious about getting out of the boat, let me just see your hands. That's fair enough. That's about what I thought. All right, hands down. Thank you for your honesty, those of you who didn't raise your hand. It's all good. I've been there. I'm telling you, I've been there. But I'm here to let you know that there's some things you will never experience as long as you're in that boat. Three things. First of all, application. Listen, if you want to get out of the boat, listen. We collectively, we have to call on the Lord to take us higher. Get that down. We have to call on the Lord to take us higher. We have to call on the Lord to take us higher. What I love about Peter is he took the initiative to open up his mouth and to communicate a desire. And see, some of us, we have to start with that. Some of us got to begin by just calling. Some of us have already called and we're waiting on it. But many of us, we haven't had the courage just to even ask for it. And see, what happens is we get so comfortable in our comfort. That the thought of coming out of it makes, oh no, Pastor, we gonna do something different. What you talking about? I don't know. That different scares me. We ain't never done that before. Well, we did it before, but it didn't work. So we might not all do that no more. Yeah, we got a call on the Lord to take us higher. Secondly, we got to go to the Lord into uncharted territory. We got to go to the Lord. He's there waiting. We got to go to him. He has blazed a trail for us to step into. And watch this. He's going to sit there and wait. And he's going to say, if you want it, come and get it. Greater Bethlehem, if you want to trust God for greater, I got you covered. Now, I'm not going to force it upon you, says the Lord, but I'm here. If you want to consider for just a moment that things could be different, things could be better, or there is just another way to look at church in general, the Lord is saying, I'm here. Somebody say, call on the Lord to take us higher. Secondly, say, go to the Lord into uncharted territory. Well, Pastor Brown, if we start doing some crazy stuff, stuff could happen. Stuff happened to Peter. Now see, we always try to lay blame on Peter, and the preachers just ridicule him. He took his eyes off Jesus. When you take your eyes off Jesus, you're gonna fall. And they preaching from the boat. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. Preaching from the boat. You can criticize me all day long, as long as you do it from the sea with me. But if all you're doing is standing in the boat criticizing me, it just falls right off. Because you're demonstrating that you're more concerned about your comfort than you are about reaching new heights. And the Lord hadn't called us to complacency. He's called us to greater. He said, we can do greater things than even I did, says the Lord. Last one. Call on the Lord to take us higher. Go to the Lord into uncharted territory. Peter began to sink. Check this last one out. Rely upon the Lord even if we stumble. Rely upon the Lord even if we stumble. Y'all, we're going to get out there. We're going to try to do some stuff in 2019 that ain't going to work. Now here's what we don't need. I knew it wasn't going to work. I should have told him a long time ago. I really wasn't a part of it. You know, he asked me to sign up, but I ain't signed up for it. Let me sip some of this hot tea. I ain't want to do it nowhere. I told him it wasn't going to work. I don't know why y'all was trying to do stuff. Let's just have church. Let's leave things where they are. Why we got to always do something different? You ain't said it, but you heard him say it. Why we got to do all that? Be all intentional about stuff. Let's just let it. It'll be all right. It'll work out. Last part of that says, GBBC, it's time to get out of the boat. It's time. Lord, that's 28 minutes. It's time to get out the boat. It's time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now that you would give us what we need, Father God, to take some significant steps of faith. Father, help us to dream dreams and to have the courage to walk into the fulfillment. Father, I pray for our church that we would gain varying perspectives about how to do church. And Father, not to discount what's been done or our past, but Father, may we not be bound by that from which we've come. May that be a foundation, if you will, Father, and not a prison. Lord, we know what you can do. We trust you in every way. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Amen.